In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who was it? We're doing a little better. You trust Jesus Christ? Everybody? This is going to be very dull for the next few minutes. If you want, with two simple steps. We begin in chapter 10. We are on verse 25. Just Jesus, which you should do that every opportunity you get. Let me know how it works out. Jesus said, what is written in the law? Now, as a law in the time when Judaism was in full swing of its own under Roman rule, the thing we need to remember is Judaism is actually a theocracy. They have their own laws, their own rules. And it doesn't work that way in this day and age so much, but it's functioning at this time. So the law, we hear law, somebody hanging out at the court, as we understand a lawyer. We're talking about somebody who knows the law, the word of God. And that's what this person is an expert in, which is why Jesus turns to him and tells him what's written, and asks him what's written in the law. He should know the answer to his question. And strangely, he does. He just remembered this most important phrase. He stood up to test Jesus. Rude at first, but it's really reasonable. If someone's going to be standing up and teaching in the Word of God and teaching and proclaiming that they are speaking the words of God, testing them is probably a good idea. Find out what they really are. He was probably, we'll find out later, a little more self-righteous than he needed to be in the conversation, but not a reasonable thing. So what he read when he answered, you shall Lord your God with all your soul and with all your strength. And step one. Step two, and your neighbor as yourself. These are the two things he says, all of which can be found in the law. And he said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. So simple. There it is. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Eternal life is yours. You will live. Amen. It's so simple. And then we get to verse 29. But, right? Show up in Scripture. Simple. Used to be me. Want to justify his righteousness, to prove his worth, to show that he's correct, to show that he's right. Jesus, and who is my neighbor? It's like, yeah, give me some very specific directions here so I can go do that. Now, thank Jesus for very specific instructions when he tells us these things. We're just like, absolutely, everybody is our neighbor. I'm going to go love everybody who comes by. Right? Yeah. Well, hopefully you are doing a better job than I am. Jesus tells this parable that we all have heard and know so well. In fact, we call it the parable of what? The good Samaritan. That's a quiz. The good Samaritan. The good Samaritan. The is the Lord in the story. Would immediately begin to argue with you if you call the Samaritan good. There's nothing in his mind and his understanding good about the Samaritan. In fact, in some other ancient Hebrew writings, when talking about Samaritans, it says this: he that eats the bread of the Samaritans is like one who eats the flesh of swine. Well, that is unclean. Now, just for a minute, stop thinking about bacon. This is a terrible thing to be talking about Samaritan as good. So hold on to that. Jesus begins, and he tells a story about this man who was robbed and left for dead, laying in the ditch, and the first character comes along. Figure number one is a priest. So as the Lord is listening to this, he goes, man's laying in the ditch, has to buy himself. That's a key element. If his family was there, the priest would be right to go up to remain clean, to do his work of leading worship, but nobody was there. So it was his duty, and it would have been okay for him to come near this person, even if he was dead. He could have gone to lend aid or to pray or to be present, because no one else was there. Here comes near the Lord, and yeah, of course, here comes the priest. He's on his own, still within the law. Here comes the priest. The priest is going to do what the priest should do. He goes to the other side of the street and passes by. So the lawyer's thinking, that must not be quite right. And he goes, that's a secondary person when it comes to understanding worship in their tradition. This person is keeper of all things, kind of like a verger for us. Make sure everything's in place so the worship can take place. And he goes, so the Levite. And the Lord will be thinking, oh, this is going to be good. So the priest is behind and pick this up and take care of the person, and comes and sees the person lying in the ditch and crosses the street. Now the Lord must be feeling a little confused by now. And then Jesus says, then there came a Samaritan. And the Lord will be good. He stole what it. But the Samaritan stops. And he cares for this person at a level above and beyond in the story. The lawyer must be feeling quite defeated at this point. And this lawyer stood up to test Jesus, and Jesus turned to him and said, "What do you think was to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And I picture this lawyer being very being angry, and those around him, "You question Jesus. You know better than any of us. You go in this guy teaching, proclaiming to speak in the name of God." And he got up, "Yeah, that's me. I'm going to do it." And he steps up and he questions him, and then he gives his parable and his response to what Jesus says. "Who do you think was the neighbor?" And he probably responded more like, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus is like, "I'm sorry. The one who showed him mercy, averting his eyes. The one who showed him mercy." So Jesus says, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise." And this is a very important thing. Who's the neighbor? Probably who you think. The Lord. Understanding the priest to be neighborly, the Levite to be neighborly, but an unclean, unwashed, undesirable Samaritan, the one to show grace and mercy, how can that be? So we have to ask ourselves, who is our neighbor? And we can say, who isn't? What does that mean? Well, things can get messy, brothers and sisters. People I love. I love the people who love me. I love God. It's easy for me, to be honest. Why is it so easy to love my God with all my heart, all my strength, all my mind? Because I know He loves me. How do I know? Because when I came to Him unlovable, unclean, untouchable, unworthy, He showed me His grace and mercy. So I have no problem loving God, because for whatever reason, He has no problem loving me. Step one, amen? And then He says, two steps for eternal life. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Might be the person you think the least of. Sometimes in our life we have people who are difficult to be with and be around. Some of us can be difficult to be with and be around. Yeah, thank you. Not agreement. But what do we do in that setting? Well, what we do matters. I remember a young man when I was in seminary, and most of the people in my class, all but one, were younger than me, and most were younger a fair bit, some more the age of my children. And he sounded a lot to me like this lawyer was sounding in the beginning. He was very, in my mind, very arrogant. He was always right. He was difficult to have a conversation with. He was difficult to be around. And I was finding it very difficult to deal with him, so I did exactly what every good Christian should do. I stayed away from him. It's a small community. How do you do that? So when we were having a good conversation, he'd come, he was always going to throw something, and you're just going to go, well, there goes the conversation, right? So he'd come around, and I'm like, oh, I got to get going. Yeah, everything I could, I'd just go around him. You know, if he's sitting at this table for breakfast, I'd sit at that table. I just stayed away from him. We weren't adversaries. I just didn't want to deal with it, so I stayed out. I didn't see him as my neighbor, although he literally was, by geography. Then, in a process of training and preaching as a seminarian, I don't know that was this passage, by the way. I was convicted in my relationship with this young man. I think he'd speak to my wife, but he guess he knows I don't hear very well. He said to me, he's not who you are. Oh. So we then ended up in class together. And in this class, everybody had to have a partner. So being with God about that's not happening. No. And being the way he was, very quickly, because Brian was lost in his thoughts talking with God. And I said, get it. And I pressed in. By his strength that I received, by his love, God was able to prompt my heart and show me who this man is. And what I discovered was a young man who was insecure and afraid and feeling unworthy, who had a wonderful tool of masking it by behaving otherwise. And I went, oh, this is what it means to love my neighbor as myself. The first person I can forgive and let slide for their bad behavior without question is me. Because I'm feeling that way. I've spoken that way, right? And if it was wrong, I'm immediately convicted. What? You just inflicted it on somebody else. I these things immediately. So I say, yep, I forgive myself. Love your neighbor, yourself. What's it mean? Well, I in your life, the people in my want to be in the midst of whatever the chaos might be and stay away from it. But not once ever has Jesus ever told his people to stay in the struggle. In fact, he said go into the struggle. And we hear the story is here the person was not here. And Jesus this is the first the Lord thinks is going to be hard. This is a person in the high that the Lord expects to be hard. This is a Lord person this Lord think to be holy and neighborly, and yet that was the person. Keeping in mind the Samaritan also lives among these people who do not value him, yet he values this person. And once do we find to see if he was Jewish. He didn't care who he was. He just cared for him where he was in the ditch. He didn't have a test. He didn't he wasn't dressed, so there's you don't know what he was dressed before. He didn't know. He just cared for him. See, we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, because we like to stick with people we like. It's easy to love people we like. It's easy to love people who love us. But what happens when we come into a world that is filled with people, including ourselves, unlovable? Well, Jesus says two things. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just like we have been loved, just as we have been shown mercy and grace by God, unconditionally. Who's your neighbor? Every person God puts in front of you is your neighbor. Whether you want to be in front of them or not, whether they look like you or not, whether they're lovable or not. Those who seek eternal life. Two steps. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that's the right answer. Do this and you will live. And then in discovering through this story that maybe the lawyer hasn't grasped the fullness, he himself is now reflecting as Jesus says, who showed mercy? The one who is looking out for self or the one who is looking out for another? He says, the one who showed him mercy and cared for him is the choice. Not the person he thought it would be, but exactly the person he thought it wouldn't be. And Jesus says nothing more than go and do likewise. We get a chance today each of us to consider, who's that neighbor in our life? Who's that person we see coming that we go around? Just because we can't see outwardly that there are wounds that need to be cared for doesn't mean they aren't there. But when you find yourself on your journey and someone broken and wounded, regardless of how it's coming out of them, is put before you, you can choose to love your neighbor as yourself. Step two. Or you can go around. Jesus will ask, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the answer will always be what it is today: the one who showed mercy. Go and do likewise. Amen.